In the name of the Father, and Son, Holy Spirit, one God. Amen. Today is the Sunday before the last of the Coptic year, the fourth Sunday of the blessed month of Misra. And as you just heard, the gospel of today is about the signs of the end of time. Because we are approaching the end of the Coptic year, the Church takes this opportunity to remind us of the end of time and how we should be prepared. This is one of the things that we learn from the wisdom of the Church, how the reading is set in a way that reminds us. From the beginning, we start knowing and understanding what is the spirit of the beginning, and we come to the end and we learn how we should prepare ourselves. So in this passage that we just heard, we find many warnings. The Lord is warning us from false Christ who will arise and try to deceive many. And he says that there will be famine, plagues, and earthquake, and a lot of disturbance and trouble. But he tells us specifically to take heed that no one deceives you. So this is actually what we're going to talk about today. Heeding the greatest deceiver of men. And the greatest deceiver of man is not Satan and is not the world that we live in. The greatest deceiver is man's own heart. No one can deceive us if our hearts are set right, if our minds are thinking in the right way, and we are guided by the Spirit of God. This is something I want all of us to understand. No one can deceive anyone unless this person contributes to the deception. My own heart is the greatest deceiver of all. This is again is manifest in the Bible in many verses. One verse is very clear in Jeremiah 17. The heart is deceitful above all things and desperately wicked. Who can know it? I wonder, after reading such a verse, how any man can trust his own heart and saying, my heart is telling me, I feel like this. And we think this is the truth just because we are passionate about something, or I feel like it is right. The heart is deceitful above all things. In another occasion, St. Peter tells us about those people who deny the coming of Christ and think that everything will continue as is. Nothing is going to ever to happen. We will just die and vanish. He says about them, for this, meaning the second coming, they willfully forget. Willfully. They decide, I'm not going to believe this. And then they make it up, so their minds now is convinced, and they are comfortable with this lie. Also, St. Paul says about those people who decide that God does not exist. They say about him, and even as they did not like to retain God in their knowledge. This is a decision. They did not like to retain God in their knowledge. God gave them over to a debased mind. Many of those people who claim that they are atheists, they do not believe in the existence of God, they willfully do this. They do not want God to exist. They want to live a reality where there is no God and then there is no accountability. I do whatever I want. And then saying God does not exist. And I try to make to myself the reasons why I should believe there is no ultimate authority and reference. In the Book of Wisdom, also speaking about the same people who deny the existence of God and say these things they thought, the deception, and they were mistaken for their own malice blinded them. Again, it's my own malice. The wickedness of my heart blind me and make me not able to see. There are many kinds of deception where man can deceive himself with. But we thought today we are going to focus on the deceit of living false realities. There is a reality and truth about everything. God is the ultimate truth. And there is another reality where people sometimes choose to live in. And this discrepancy between the actual reality and the reality to they choose to live in makes them to be self-deceived. I believe something about a reality and then I'm convinced that this is the truth. And I keep believing it until I come to the point of facing the truth himself. God, when we meet him, and we know by then that unfortunately I was deceiving myself. Let us go through some of the false realities where we sometimes choose to live in. One of these kind of false realities is the discrepancy between my ability, my calling, and my limitations and the individual's pursuit. What do I mean by this? If I am called to be a married man, pursuing monasticism, meaning I am living a false reality, I am thinking that I can live up to this. I want to be a celibate person. I want to dedicate my life to worshiping God. Maybe this is not my calling. Maybe I cannot do this. But insisting that this is where my heart is, this is what I'm pursuing, will lead me eventually to an accident. God created us with certain abilities, certain talents, and also certain limitations. I have to understand myself well. Many times people are wasting their lives going after a dream. That's not for them. This is not where God wants them to be. They cannot get there. Simply, they are not given the talents or the equipment by which they can pursue this. Again, this discrepancy between what I can do and what am I trying to do might make me all the time to live in a life of frustration and disappointments. I am going through many accidents in life. Another discrepancy also is between human weakness and the expectation of perfection. We are all weak. We are all sinners. But unfortunately, sometimes we expect others to be perfect, to be without mistake. And we get so upset when people are weak or are sinning, as if like we are without sin, as if like we expect people to be like perfect. How we get into this? Sometimes we find this, especially in household. Husband expects his wife to meet his expectations, and a wife expecting her husband to meet her expectation. And these expectations are far beyond the ability of human beings. We give excuses to ourselves whenever we sin, when we fall short, but unfortunately, we do not deal people with the same standard. This is again a discrepancy between reality, that we are all weak, we are all sinners, and between expecting people to be perfect. And we get surprised and disappointed when we find otherwise. Another also discrepancy between reality and what we believe is between the reality about God, His will, and the designed way of salvation and the individual's own belief. What do I mean by this? There is a reality about God. And many times we make a certain reality about God in our own minds, and we are surprised that God is not as we think. We have many distorted images about God. We think sometimes that God is harsh. God is just waiting for us to make a mistake so He can punish us. God is waiting for people to sin so He can throw them in fire. And this is not whom God is. But when we think this way, I live in my own reality. And when I live this reality, unfortunately, I communicate the same to my children. So I make them live in fear. God is going to do this to you. Unless you are a good boy, God is going to throw you in hellfire. Then I created for them also another false reality about a wrathful God, an angry God who is waiting for people to sin so He can punish them. Or even creating a reality about God that God doesn't care about my mistakes, about my sin. And it's okay that I live whatever because God is kind and merciful. It's another false reality because God is merciful, yes, but He is just a judge. And God, yes, accept me how I am, but He wants me to change, to become the right person. Here again, this is a reality about God, and what I am thinking, there might be a discrepancy. Sadly, many people live their whole life believing a lie about God and communicate this lie and teach others about it. This is how false religions come to exist. When there is a false reality about God, and again, we communicate this to others. Another also discrepancy is what my understanding about what is God's love is. We are troubled when we suffer, and we think that this cannot be reconciled with a loving God. If God loves me, I should not have any trouble. Nothing should go wrong. Whenever I call upon His name, everything should be solved, everything should be blessed. Who said that this is how really God wants us to understand it? He Himself came to us and suffered on our behalf. How can the head of the church be suffering and we expect to lead a life with ease and everything is going my way. But again, we create this kind of false reality that God, if He loves me, I will always be like pain-free. I will lead a life that everything is going my way. Another also discrepancy between my understanding and the truth. What God's promises and warnings they mean. We read the Old Testament and think that all the blessings that God can give are earthly. It's about prosperity and success and health and wealth. Is it true? Is this really what God promised us? He told us in the world you'll have many tribulations. How can we reconcile this with thinking that He is God who is serving my well-being with my own understanding? And again, religion and salvation. What God wants us to believe. How a man should be saved. Sadly, everybody adopts his own way of thinking about how a man should be saved. Sadly, among even us who embrace the same orthodox faith, if I ask many of you how you should man be saved, I will find different answers. Why we come to this? Why we get into this? Where we are not agreeing on even how a man should be saved. It's very sad. But this is again, I create for myself a false reality. I am comfortable with this. This is what I think how God should be functioning, how He should operate. When we do this, we deceive ourselves. We live a lie. And no one is responsible for this except me. Because I heard and I learned the truth often. And I choose willfully to deceive myself for a reason that only God and me knows. I want God to be in my image. I want Him to think like me. I want Him to overlook whatever I am desiring to do that I know is wrong. Another discrepancy also is between doctrines we believe and the day-to-day life's choices. We come to the church to repeat the creed over and over. We believe in one God, God the Father, the Pantocrator. And then we go back home and we deal with us, each other, as if like we are pagans. We never knew God. We never heard about His mercy or His compassion or His love. And we act like this creed has nothing to do with the life that we lead. What is happening here is I deceive myself by just repeating the words of the creed, thinking that I'm a believer. To be a believer means there is a change in life, something different about you than anybody else. Your belief should be manifest in how you act and how you treat others. Yes, we all make mistakes. We all sin. But as a believer, I know how to repent. I know what is right. I do not keep nagging about what is right and what is wrong and thinking because I repeat the creed, then I am Christian. Another, here also again, look here, St. John is warning us again at this kind of discrepancy that professing Christianity by our mouth and living another reality. He says, little children, let no one deceive you. He who practices righteousness is righteous just as He is righteous. If you believe Christ is your God and Savior, should imitate His image. Being cruel, being harsh, being impolite, being a person who has no regard to authority, you cannot say that I am leading a life of righteousness or I am trying to imitate my master. Another discrepancy also is between real joy and what I think will make me happy. God told us to be happy means, or to be joyful means, to live pleasing to Him, to do His will, finding joy with Him, in Him. Sometimes we have our own reality, what we think about what will make me happy. And this is might be very far from what actually intended for us to live by. And this discrepancy leads that I am pursuing something at all times, thinking I'm going to be happy when I get there. And we get there and we find there is no happiness. People, whenever they are students in school, they think that when I get my degree, I'll be happy. They get the degree. No, whenever I marry, I will be happy. When they marry, whenever I get children. No, whenever the children graduate from school. Whenever children, they marry. And they keep on and on and on and on, trying to think that whenever I get there, I'm going to be happy. When I get $100,000 in my bank account, I will be safe. And people get there and say, that's not enough. Then $1 million maybe will make me feel better. and $1 million is not enough, and two and ten and hundred and billion is not enough. Because God told us there is no joy in earthly things. This is not what will make any human being happy. Another also discrepancy and a false reality is between the reality about marriage and family life and the imaginary picture about them. The common and famous phrase about when they married, they lived happily ever after. All people who married know that this is only in the movies. That's why the movie ends there, because they do not want you to see the happiness that will happen after. We know this is not like that simple. There is a challenge, many challenges, a lot of compromise and sacrifice, a lot of attempts to adapt to the other person that live with me, knowing that this person is not perfect, and I will have to work things out with this person in order for us to be able to live. I will have to humble myself in order for me to accept the other person and work with him or working with her. All of these are the truth. But this imaginary picture about family life and about marriage make people that they stumble. People, they fight and they ask to divorce after a week of marriage. What's going on? Simply, they never understood what marriage is. And they lived all the time a false reality. Sadly, not only for the people who are newly married, but people who lived their lives not knowing what is marriage is about, what family is all about. Sometimes people are thinking marriage or family is for getting people to serve me, to take care of me, to meet my needs and expectations. This is not what marriage is about. Another false reality is very common. Another false reality also is between the assumption about spiritual well-being and the reality of being far from God. This is one of the worst. This is where man is going to discover that he was deceiving himself at the moment when he stands before Christ. This is one of the verses that scare me the most in the Bible. Many will say to me in that day, Lord, Lord, have we not prophesied in your name, cast out demons in your name, and done many wonders in your name? And then I will declare to them, I never knew you. Imagine myself standing before God and say that I served you all of these years in the church. And God said, who are you? I never knew you. What's going on here? This person lived a false reality that he is pleasing to God, that he is doing what he's supposed to do, and God is happy with him. That's why when he is meeting Christ, he say, Lord, I prophesied in your name, I served you, I claim being Christian before everyone, and Christ will declare to them the truth, I never knew you. It's a sad example of self-deception. Another discrepancy is also is between an actual cause and a possible solution for a problem and my own reasoning for the same problem. What do I mean by this? In every problem, there is a real cause. And there is, this is what the people are saying, the root cause. What is causing this? And there is a solution. But why problems are not usually solved? Simply because I might have my own reality about what is the problem is about, how it should be solved. And people keep living their lives thinking, this problem is because of him, of her, of them. It's not me. I'm doing the right thing. I'm thinking the right way. Sometimes, as Sayyidina told us, it is very common, whenever you find people are fighting, husband and wife, then one of them come and say, you know, Abuna or Sayyidina, this problem should be solved right. Do you know what is right? Do you know what is really what's happening? Or this is what you think? Again, if I live this kind of false reality, I will always be looking in the wrong place about the wrong solution. I will never get there. And I will live my life thinking that it is them. They do not understand. They are not solving things. They are not doing what they are supposed to do. King Saul lived his life thinking, I have a problem called David. What is the solution for the problem? He should be killed. His own imagination, his own reality made him to think this way. Sadly, actually, David was the solution of his problem. David was the person he should befriend and take care of. It is another sad example where we all have problems, and many people, they do not really know what the problem is about because they are deceiving themselves. It is them. Nothing wrong is with me. And we keep on continuing hitting the wall, getting accidents over and over. Another discrepancy also is between reality and between the truth is sowing a seed and expecting a different harvest. I sow cruelty with my children and I'm expecting them to be kind to me when I grow up. I sow negligence and not caring and I expect them to be affectionate and loving. Why we get surprised when we harvest what we sowed? I was negligent and this is what I'm sowing today. I did not do what I'm supposed to do, and that's why I am experiencing this kind of disappointment. There is no surprise. This is a law with no exception. What we sow is what we are going to harvest. But sadly, we assume that we sowed what is right. I planted what is good, and that's why I'm expecting everything to give me a good harvest at the end. If I am really sincere and honest, and I examine exactly what I sowed or what I planted, I might be unable to understand why I am getting this kind of bad harvest. Maybe I contributed to this. The last one, the last kind of discrepancy between the truth and my reality is between God's words and the world standards. Now we live in a world where people cohabitating, living together is okay, because they love each other. It doesn't matter if they are married or not. People can marry person from the same gender. It's okay. This is how God created them. And then we come now to live in a world of deceit. And sadly, people are thinking that this is okay. This is acceptable before God. Look here, the words of Saint Paul, and heed them. Do not be deceived, neither fornicators, nor idolaters, nor adulterers, nor homosexuals, nor sodomites, nor thieves, nor covetous, nor drunkards, nor revilers, nor extortioners will inherit the kingdom of God. It cannot be more clear than these words. Nothing really can be said to add anything to the clarity of the warning. If you are one of those, do not think you will inherit the kingdom of God. A repentance now is needed. Do not be deceived. Why he says do not be deceived? Because we live in a world where I can live as a fornicator and I think I'm okay. I can live as a homosexual and I think that this is not a sin. God is accepting this kind of love, as we call them. There is a standard we are going to be judged against, God's standards, and there is a false reality where the world is creating, and we sometimes want to believe. In the beginning, as I said, no one can deceive me unless I contribute into this. No one can mislead me unless I give him the chance to do so. If I am deceived, it is because of something in me that was not right. The greatest deceiver is my own heart. Today, when Christ is warning us not to be deceived, I have to go back and I look inside and see what is the status of this heart that can lead me away from God. May the Lord keep us all safe, walking in truth. To him be the glory forever and ever. Amen.